So my name is Gary Rowe, and I am, or was, I don't know what I am right now, but I will be, I was a deacon of your church. And I have been here for a long time, and it's been a long time since I preached at Island Pond, and it's good to be back, but there's a lot of new faces in the congregation, a lot of people that I don't know, and as a result of that, I'm sure there's a lot of you who do not know me. So I want to tell you a little bit before we start about my beliefs. In general, I interpret the Bible quite literally, and I believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. I believe that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for proof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work, from 2 Timothy. I believe that the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is the story of Jesus. The Old Testament looks forward to his coming, his first coming as the Messiah. The New Testament looks forward to his second coming as King of Kings and the consummation of the age. Since I believe that all Scripture is breathed out by God, scriptural principles and concepts which are taught in one portion of Scripture are applicable in other portions of Scripture where the circumstances are similar. So with that bit of background, let's turn to God's Word for our message today. The title of the sermon is The Watchman. Now, you may think this sounds like a reasonable title for a New Year's sermon because in just a couple of days, it's going to be New Year's, and we're going to be sitting around in front of our TVs watching for the ball to drop to begin the new year. And it's a sermon that we need to think seriously about as we begin this new year of service to our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a word about Ezekiel, if you don't know much about him. Ezekiel was a priest, he was the son of a priest, and he was a prophet to Israel during their exile under Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Ezekiel was deported to Babylon in the first deportation in 597 BC, along with Daniel and some 10,000 other influential inhabitants of Jerusalem. The passage that we're going to be looking at today, Ezekiel 33:1-9, is divided into two natural parts. The first part is 33:1-6, and this describes a person called to be the watchman from a theoretical point of view first. And the second part, 33:7-9, deals with the responsibilities from an actual point of view for a watchman. In both passages, God is speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. Now, from this 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, I want to make just two points this morning. This is the only place I could find that had both the points I want to make pretty close together here. So I want to make the first point is that we, as believers, have a responsibility to select and qualified and dedicated watchmen to watch over our spiritual well-being in the times in which we live. And secondly, we have a responsibility as believers to be watchmen and witnesses, not just for ourselves, but for others also. Now, if you turn in your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 33, and this is the first part of our text for today, and if you don't have your Bible, you can use one of the pew Bibles. It's in the back of the pew or the front of the pew that you're sitting in, that have been donated to the church by the Herricks. And you can turn to page 720. In that book, and you will find the text for our sermon today. So let me just read again these first part of the text that the pastor read just earlier. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take the warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken the warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman If the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned and the sword comes and takes them away, any one of them away, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hands. So as we begin, let's look at our first point and notice particularly the responsibility of a watchman. The passage opens with God speaking to Ezekiel saying, the word of the Lord came to me. And as I said, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. So whatever God is saying in these passages, he's talking to Ezekiel. In verse 2 and throughout all of the text this morning, God addresses Ezekiel as son of man, telling him to speak to his people. The title son of man is a title which the Lord addresses Ezekiel as over 90 times in the book of Ezekiel. And the term his people is a reference to Ezekiel's fellow refugees who were deported from captured Jerusalem and are now living in Babylon. When the Lord speaks, he begins of a kind of a theoretical monologue directed towards Ezekiel. And he starts by saying, if I bring the sword upon the land, essentially implying, if I, meaning the Lord, bring destruction upon a land, then God speaks to the responsibility of the people who live in the land to appoint for themselves to be someone to be a watchman to watch out for their safety. And he says, and the people of the man take a man from among them and make him their watchman. And what is this person's responsibility? He says, if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people. And here God addresses the primary responsibility of any watchman, and that is to sound the alarm at the earliest sign of danger. So often, even in our day, we hear of a person witnessing some horrific thing happening to someone or something and just walking away, saying nothing to anyone. That is not being a conscientious citizen or watchman. It's not even being a conscientious citizen. It is an example of someone who has absolutely no regard for anybody's but themselves. But let's stop here a moment and see how God's instructions may connect to us in our time. While in the text God is speaking to Ezekiel about a theoretical situation, there is a spiritual truth which underlines what God is saying to Ezekiel, which applies to our church today. Who in our day would be like a watchman to stand guard for our land, or in our context, our church? It is primarily the responsibility of the elders as the overseers of the church. However, anyone in a leadership position has the same responsibility, including deacons and teachers. And like an Old Testament city choosing their watchmen carefully, a New Testament church must choose our leaders equally as carefully, because they are our watchmen. Our very life as a church depends on who we have in leadership positions to watch over our spiritual well-being. They are to warn of biblically unsound or even heretical teachings that they see in the church. And that is why it is so important that we carefully consider everyone that we are proposing for a leadership position, whatever kind of leadership position it is. In the New Testament, in 1 Timothy 5:22, Paul cautioned Timothy about confirming new leaders too soon. He tells Timothy, speaking of those who are to be appointed to a leadership position, do not be hasty in laying hands. Paul's caution to Timothy is to make sure that the leaders are ready for leadership, making sure that they have been proven to be proven sound in their beliefs and mature in their spirituality. Paul was so concerned that the church select good men of good character who had been thoroughly vetted by the church that he gives specific qualifications to look for in both deacons and elders. in 1 Timothy 3, and again, elders alone in Titus 1. And likewise, Peter says in 1 Peter 5, 2, contextually speaking to those who were chosen primarily as elders, he says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, being examples to the flock. One of the primary roles of any leader that we choose to lead us is to be an example of a godly leader. He must also be trustworthy and reliable. He must be alert and must take his leadership responsibility seriously, but not in a domineering way. So the characteristics such as those listed should be important to look for in all of the leaders that we choose to lead us in our church. However, there is also a great responsibility in being a leader. So those who are asked to be in leadership positions need to carefully consider that responsibility. Listen to Hebrews 13, 17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them. That's our responsibility. For they are keeping watch over our souls. And listen to this, leaders, as those who will have to give an account for themselves. All leaders as watchmen for the Lord will be judged. They will be required to give an account for their leadership over the church of God. And this includes everyone who is a leader, no matter in what capacity you serve. Looking at our text again, in the next sentence we see how the burden of responsibility is shared by the watchman and those over whom he watches. God begins, if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet, does not take warning, and the sword comes upon him and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. God's rationale for this judgment is, he heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take the warning. His blood shall be upon himself. If he had taken the warning, he would have saved his life. So in this case, the individual did hear the warning given by the watchman. However, he chose to ignore the warning that was given to him, and therefore, because of his conscious decision to ignore the warning, the watchman bears no responsibility for that individual's death. Then God speaks of the responsibility and the liability of a watchman if he does not raise an alarm. Listen, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are warned, and the sword comes and takes away any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity. Here the watchman is derelict in his duty as a watchman because he sees danger approach it and he fails to sound the alarm. Consequently, the people are not warned and do not take refuge, and they're killed. The person that is dead is still dead. But he has died, if he dies with his sin uncovered, if he dies in his iniquity, he stays in that state of iniquity. And before God, the watchman is responsible for the death because he did not warn him of the approaching danger. The second point in our text today is that God makes this watchman responsibility personal. He takes the theoretical example that we looked at and turns it into a real example. And in this scenario, where I believe this is where I believe the spiritual principle taught in the previous section is applied to us today. We, as believers, have a responsibility to be watchmen, not just for ourselves, but for others also. So I urge you to pay attention to God's next words addressed to Ezekiel, because they apply to each of us as well. Look at this next paragraph with me, Ezekiel 33, 7 through 9. Listen again as I read these verses. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman over the house for the house of Israel. Whatever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. And if I say, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his ways, that wicked person will die in his iniquity. But his blood I shall require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his ways, and he does not turn from his ways, that person shall still die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. In these verses, God starts by making the responsibility for looking out for the spiritual interest of others personal. In this scenario, Ezekiel does not have to stand in the tower in the front of the gate of the city on the wall there, looking to the horizon for a sign of danger. He has only to listen for the word of God coming to him. God tells him, whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. So let's take a moment here to see how this connects with us today. First, just like Ezekiel, each one of us has been appointed to sound a warning to those who are in spiritual danger in our day. In verse 8, God says to Ezekiel, if I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his ways, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity. Ezekiel lived under the law of Moses. We're not under the covenant of the law anymore. Because of Jesus' sanctifying blood shed for us on the cross, we are under a new covenant, a covenant of grace towards those who turn to Jesus Christ as their Savior. All our past sins, no matter what kind, are erased by Jesus' purifying blood. Listen to Matthew. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. At the very moment that Jesus breathed his last and released his spirit back to God, the veil, that heavy curtain between the holy place and the holy of holies in the temple, was torn in two from top to bottom, something no human hands could do. The new covenant that Jesus had established with his disciples just hours before at the Last Supper came into existence. The new age of grace of God had begun. Now we have God's full and complete revelation of himself to us in his word. He is not going to give us any new revelation about himself. And through the word of God, he has already warned the wicked to turn from their ways, or they shall surely die. In Romans 3:23, Paul writes, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23, it says, and the wages of sin is death. God has clearly told the wicked that they shall surely die if they do not turn to Jesus. So how does this apply to me, you ask? It applies to you only if you are a believer. It applies to you only if you have taken, and it applies to you if you have taken advantage of the gift of grace that the pastor talked about in our Christmas Eve service, where he said, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that one may boast. And the rest of the verse that we looked at early in, from 6:23 in Romans says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have ever done this in your life, if you have ever done that thing that we're told to do in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Just as Ezekiel, you have been appointed a watchman to warn the wicked man, the sinner, the lost person, to turn from their lostness to Jesus, or they will surely die and will be eternally separated from God and his Christ. In Acts 1:8, very clearly tells us that if you are a child of Christ, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness. We learn a lot in this verse about how we, as watchmen for God, also now witnesses for God, we learn a lot. First, he tells us that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. This has already happened to every believer. At the very moment that you were saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence in your heart, so that at that very moment that you were saved, you got all the power you need to be God's witness, God's watchman. In that verse, it goes on to say that you will be his witnesses in Jerusalem. Now, that just means that you start at the place where you are when you're saved and the Holy Spirit comes into your life. In the place where you live, in the place where you work, in the place where you meet your friends. And from there, you go next to wherever God leads you. In verse 8, God told Ezekiel that if he failed in his responsibility as a watchman to warn the wicked man, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity or his sin. And if he does, if he dies in his sin, he doesn't turn away, then it would be Ezekiel's fault. But the man would surely die just the same. God spoke this to Ezekiel to show the seriousness of the responsibility of being a watchman for God. If the person dies not having been forgiven of his iniquity and his sin, he will for all eternity be separated from God with no opportunity to change his status. Now, we live in a day of grace, and while we're in these days of God's grace, we still are required to be God's watchmen, now called God's witnesses. We are still required to warn people that if they do not turn from their iniquity, that is, from their sins, they too will surely die and will be eternally separated from God. As the pastor reminded us during his series on Hebrews, it says, "And just as it is appointed for man once to die, and after that comes the judgment." Judgment comes after a person dies. And there is no appeal process for that judgment. You see, we have every opportunity to accept Jesus Christ in this life. And if we die without accepting him, we will surely die in our iniquity, that is our sins, and we will be eternally separated from God and destined to spend eternity in outer darkness and in relentless torment. But the responsibility to be upon the one who consciously rejected salvation that was offered to him in the name of Jesus. Born again, saved, regenerated, however you think of yourself as a Christian, this mission of watchman in this day of grace has been assigned to you. I told you what Jesus said in Acts 1:8 just before he ascended to the Father in heaven. Now listen to what Paul writes some 20 years later to the church at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19, Paul writes, "All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself." And listen, "and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In just 36 hours, we begin a new year. God, in his grace, has given us more time. If you are a Christian, he's given you more time to be his witness. If you're not a Christian, he has given you more time to repent. That is to turn from your sins and turn to God through Christ Jesus and be secure, be saved and be secured that your judgment after death will be well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So what's our takeaways for today? First, choose your leaders carefully, for they are the caretakers of your soul. And we're going to be choosing leaders again early next year in our church. Be faithful in your responsibility to be a watchman and a witness for the Lord to those who are not yet saved. We still have a new year starting in 36 hours. We have a new opportunity to begin to serve the Lord in it. If you're not a believer this morning, don't gamble your eternity for another day. Come to Jesus today. Take hold of eternal life by accepting him as your personal Savior. Let's pray.